I wonder if you'd read with me just a short story from Numbers chapter 13. And I was thinking of something else and something having to do with Jesus' name. But Sister Susan's testimony sparked another thought in my mind. And I wonder if we maybe could just look at it a little bit more. You remember what Sister Susan said and what she drew attention to? She said something about, "I'm not a loser." Anybody wear an L on your forehead? Yeah, maybe you do, maybe you don't. I think that's a good thing to be said of any of us. We're not a bunch of losers. God's people aren't to be a bunch of losers. We're victorious because of the leader that we follow, and in our leader's name, we too triumph. And that's why we want to thank Jesus, because he's the captain of our salvation. And he's leading us through the troubles and the trials. And here in Numbers 13, there's a story about God's people. And when I read in the Old Testament stories about God's people, you know, and is it Revelation? They're called the church in the wilderness. And I kind of think of those as the Israelites and the experiences that they experienced. Paul says in Corinthians that those things that they went through were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world have come. These are illustrations and examples. We're to learn from these stories. You can imagine all the experiences that the Israelites went through. I know it says about Jesus, if we were to write down every miracle and everything that he did, the books in all the world couldn't contain all those stories. Well, I don't think the books in all the world could contain all the stories about the Israelites. Every day was a new event. Every day was a new challenge. Every day was a new event that God met their need, and they experienced his help. I'll put none of the diseases that I put on the other nations. None of these diseases will be put upon you, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Imagine the amount of healing that took place in the church in the wilderness back in the days of Moses and Joshua. Oh, myriads of people must have been healed. How many people could have gotten sick in 40 years roaming around doing a lot of nothing in a desert, in a wilderness setting? Kind of a lot if you really stop and think about it. Their shoes didn't wear out. Anybody here ever go to the, what do they call them? Zapatos? The guy, you see the guy that makes the shoes? You go to the shoemaker, and you ever get new soles put on your shoes? You ever get new heels put on your shoes? How many of you put taps on your shoes? Take notes. Who's watching? What are you doing? What? Never mind. You put taps. You too. Yeah, saves the sole, right? Saves the heel. Yeah, we bring our shoes to... They didn't have those guys. They couldn't go. They didn't have a corner bodega. Elliot, I don't know what they would have done. You should have opened up a place back then. You could have a lot of business. They didn't have a place to stop to go. But God provided for them. Not just out of the rock when the war, I mean, every day something was going on. So I wish we had more stories, but we don't. But the ones that we have in the Old Testament are there to teach us. I think every one of them are there to teach us. The Holy Spirit wouldn't put in a lame, dead story that's of no benefit or use to us. And so I read here in chapter 13 that the Lord said to Moses to speak to the children of Israel. And by the way, by this time they had come out of Egypt. Big long story, which I hope you know the story. They got there, Joseph, you remember Joseph moved there, was big shot in Egypt. Then his brothers were brought all into, and then they began to proliferate in Egypt. And then they got this little territory there, and then they become enslaved because there are too many of them now. We got to watch out what we do here, or they're going to take over. And so they were in bondage and in slavery for so many years. But then they were freed from Egypt. They were freed because there was blood that was put on top of the doorpost and on those lentils that very night that the blood was put there. That was the last plague, and Pharaoh said, "Get out, get going, leave. When I see the blood, the death angel is going to pass over you." And so insightful, so instructive to us. Well, what do we need to get out of bondage? What do we need to get out of Egypt? What do we need to get out of slavery? What we need is the blood That's why Uncle Edwin said to me, Ernie, make much of the blood. And I'd like to pass along to you, if you'll take it from me, make much of the blood. Because it's the blood that got the children of Israel out of sin and bondage in Egypt. And it's the blood that will get you out of sin and bondage in Egypt. And so they got out of Egypt, and that was a wonderful thing that they got out of Egypt. And God said to them before they left, I'm bringing you out, finish it for me. I'm bringing you out that I might bring you in. Into what? A promised land. A land that flows with milk and honey. It's going to be called the land of Canaan. It's a blessed land. We kind of equate that to the victorious Christian life. It's not heaven. It's not that, oh, one day he's bringing me to heaven, out of Egypt into heaven. No, because when they got to Canaan, who did they meet in Canaan? Giants. Enemies. Jebusites. You think you're going to have to fight the Jebusites and Amorites and Perizzites and Hivites and Hittites? You think you're going to have to fight them in heaven? They're not going to be there. You're not going to have to fight any battles. It's over. That's all behind. Here's where we fight those battles. And we fight through from victory to victory. And they had a fight in that land of full victory that was promised to them. But they got out, and they didn't just get out of Egypt and wind up in the promised land. They had this place in the middle called the desert, the wilderness. And God said, I'm bringing you out, and I'm going to lead you in. And he led them. There was a cloud in the daytime, and they just had to follow the cloud. And there was a pillar of fire at night, and they had to follow that. And the Lord led them in a specific way. He didn't take them the short route because he was afraid they would get discouraged if they saw the enemies and wanted to run back. So he took them a longer way, but they say that the longer way that he took them could have taken them about 11 days. 11-day journey. To go out of Egypt and into the rest. Into the rest that he provided for them. Into the good land that flows with milk and honey. Oh, there is a rest for the people of God. And the Lord wants to bring me and we out of Egypt, out of our bondage, out of our sin. And he wants to bring us into, who is that rest? Give me a name for him. According to the book of Hebrews. His name is Jesus. If Joshua could have brought them in, he would have, but it takes a better than Joshua. And Jesus leads us into rest. Jesus, when he was here, said, come to me if you are heavy laden, if you need rest unto your souls, I'll give you rest. And Jesus still says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. You see, the Christian life is joy unspeakable and full of glory, according to Peter. The Christian life is from victory to victory. We go, Psalm 84 says, from strength to strength. And I'm so thankful that there is that land that God wants to bring us into. Well, the children of Israel had come out, but they hadn't yet gotten in. They're in that wilderness, and the Lord says to Moses, send some men to explore that land of Canaan. I want you to send some of the whippersnappers. So we would send Morgan and Jesse and Rashawn. And we'd ask these guys to go and scout out the land. They gave them some specifics. Take some from each ancestral tribe. Yeah, I got that covered so far. And we're gonna ask you guys to spy this out. So with the Lord's command, Moses sent them from where they were in the desert. And all of them were the leaders of the Israelites. And here are the names. And you read 12 names, 12 guys that were sent to spy out the land. And in verse 17, it says, Moses sent them to explore Canaan. And he said, go this way through the Negev into the hill country and see what the land is like. See whether the people who live there are strong or weak, they're few or many. What are we dealing with when we get there? And what kind of land do they live in? Is it good land or is it bad land? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they walled or fortified? And how's the soil? Is it fertile? Is it poor? Are there trees or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit from that land. It was the season for the first ripe grapes. And so those specific instructions, and you know, we don't have to go through them all. I don't know that they all mean something, but they bring back a good full report as to what we're dealing with, what you find, what you see when we get there. There's a song that's written about that, and it talks about when you get there, and these men that brought back, they brought back the grapes of Eshcol. there grapes of Eshkol found. You know that song? Some of you know that song about Canaan and Canaan's land, and there the grapes of Eshkol they found. We were singing that, I think it was a trio only, or maybe a men's group in our church one time, and we have a guy in our church that's almost, well, he's 90 plus. He could still sing like Beverly Shea. He's 90 plus, and those of you from Ozone Park know who I'm talking about. And he was up there singing. I'll leave him nameless in case this, I don't want to, and he wouldn't be embarrassed anyway. But we were singing there, and he was probably just, you know, a young man in his 70s or 80s. Now, Sister Susan stood up before, and she talked about being a young girl baptized in Ridgewood, and then she said, but now I need these. Well, brother, he needed them too. And so he boomed out. Three grapes of Eshkol found, instead of their grapes of Eshkol. Well, I hope they found more than three. And they brought back, they must have been awfully big grapes if they're carrying two staves and walking all that way with three grapes of Eshkol. Well, it was a little difficult to contain the rest of ourselves, but I never forgot it. Somehow or other, we remember the gaffes. Never remember, I've heard that this week even. I don't know what the preacher said. Nobody ever knows what the preacher said, and the next day they don't know what the preacher said. They remember all the mistakes. He got up and he said this. He got up and he said that. I remember those too. Lord bless our falling shorts instead of our short fallings. I remember that. I told you the other day, my uncle pronounced somebody man and woman. I remember that. We got all kinds of stuff that we can tell. Hey, if you can't remember and you don't have a very good memory, use a pen and a paper. And maybe remind yourself of what was said from the word of God. Well, anyway, so they send these spies out to look at the land and bring back a report. So they went up and they explored the land. I'm going to skip that paragraph. It tells you where they went. They cut off a branch bearing a single cluster of grapes. I'm sure three grapes. Two of them carried it on a pole between them, along with some pomegranates and some figs. And that place was called the Valley of Eshkol because of the cluster of grapes and the Israelites cut off there. At the end of the 40 days, they returned from exploring the land. So they come back to Moses and Aaron, and the whole Israelite community is there at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. And there they reported to them and to the whole assembly. They showed the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. Okay, here it is. This is what I'm trying to get to. We went into the land to which you sent us. It does really does flow with milk and honey. And take a look at these three grapes. That's proof positive. They got beautiful fruit there. But the people who live there, they're so powerful. And the cities are fortified, and they're very large. We even saw the descendants of Anak. Now, you know that Anak was a giant. We saw his descendants. The guys with the six fingers and the six toes. Good luck buying them sandals at Walmart. I don't know what you do. Stick the last one out and hang there for, I don't know. We saw some of them, the big dudes. And well, there's no way. Fortified cities, big walls, beautiful land. I mean, if we could live in that land, we would love to live in that land. But there's no way. There's just absolutely no way. We are losers. No way. We can't win. Impossible for us to win. And so they brought that back to report, and we even saw the descendants of Anak, and we saw the Amalekites and the Hittites and the Jebusites, and as they're going on with this report, all the community of the believers, all the church folk are sitting there going, we'll stay here where we are in the wilderness. We'll just wait a little while. We'll wait till, I don't know what we're waiting for, but we can't do this. Now notice just two phrases in verse 30 and then in verse 31. Verse 30, Caleb silenced the people before Moses. So Caleb jumped up in the middle of this report. They're all talking to Moses. And Caleb, he shouted, Cierra la boca, por favor. Si, mi bruda? Yeah. Quiet! Stop it! Shut your mouth. We should go up and possess this land. For we can certainly do it. No. We're not a bunch of losers. We can certainly do this. We're not going to quit now. He brought us out, his word, he brought us out that he might bring us in. He didn't bring us out so that we can roam and wonder. And Caleb said that, we can certainly do it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't do it. So what do we believe? This or that? That, yeah. Can we do this or can't we do this? And these men are looking at the same thing. The unfortunate thing is that 10 of them said, we cannot do it. We're a bunch of losers. We quit. And 2 of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, we can certainly do it. Well, what a different perspective on the same thing. We can, we can't. We're going to, no, we're not. You know, this isn't just the power of positive thinking. These were two men that didn't see the giants, but they saw the Lord who was greater than the giants. The report was that we are grasshoppers in their sight. And we can't go in and we can't do this because we're powerless like grasshoppers would be. If I were going out to step on the ground, that wouldn't be much of a formidable foe for me. And it's ten of them are saying we can't. And you know what happened? The Lord said, well, if you say you can't, you're not. If you say it's impossible, then you're going to just have to hang around here. And they did not ever enter in to that land of blessing because of their unbelief. Now, just one more point in closing here. Did God bless them when they were in the wilderness? Yes. Number two, a few questions here. Number two, how many years were they in that wilderness? 40 years they were in that wilderness. Did God provide food for them all those 40 years?
Yes.
Did God provide water for them when they were thirsty in the wilderness? Si, Señor. Did God provide this and that and the other? And we mentioned some of the other stuff before. Yes. Did God direct and lead them? Yeah. How far did they get in those 40 years? Around and around and around and around, like so many Christians today. Around and around. Maybe I could compose a song. Matt, help me. Around and around and around and around like so many Christians today. Because we can't, can we? Oh, God's good. He's so good. God's good. He gave me water and he gave me a grape. And it's hot in this wilderness and it stinks. And is that me or my wife? I don't know who that is, but somebody around here needs a little shower, and we don't have a lot of them where we are. And it's not the best of situations, but hey, we're alive. In the manna, we liked it for a little while, and then we didn't like it. But it's okay. It's nice food. But around and around and around and around. I don't know what number I could put on this. Could I say half the Christian people that go to church every Sunday are just going around and around and around and around. And they go in the door and they go out the door and they go back to their house and they stick on their hat that says, I'm a loser. I'm never going to win the victory over this nature, this temper, this bitterness, this anger, this unforgiveness. That's just the way it's going to be. I'm never going to get into that land. And you never will get into that land if that's your attitude. We need a little more of the Joshua and the Caleb. We need a little bit more of those two guys who said, we can certainly do this. Well, what are you talking about? Well, they saw the Lord while others saw the giants. And every one of those that had come out of Egypt, every one of them that came out of Egypt, we read that they all died in the wilderness. That's sad. Now, how do you compare that to the New Testament? Does that mean they died and went to heaven? Maybe they did. Maybe they did. And even if they did, I would suggest that they lived for so many years of their life well below their privileges that Jesus Christ offered for them to enter into. I want to bring you into my rest. I want to bring you into myself. They did not enter in because of fear and unbelief. They feared the giants, they feared the situation, and they didn't have enough confidence and faith in God. And the book of Hebrews tells us in no uncertain terms, they did not enter in because of their unbelief, and so they all died in the wilderness, excepting for two. Two men, the two spies that brought back a report, that took the loser off their foreheads and said, we certainly can do this. The Apostle Paul would have said what? Does anybody know? What would he have said? That's it. That's the verse I was thinking. How do you do this? You're good at this, Brother Frank. That's the verse I was thinking. Did you hear what he said? Good. I'm glad you didn't hear. Sarah, no. Brother Frank, no. What verse would the Apostle Paul use? Yeah, you're getting it, right? You got it. Sister Elsie got it. Did anybody here hear what Sister Elsie said? Oh, you're saying it back there also? Yeah, because that's the verse. That's the verse the Apostle Paul would have used when he rolled into Athens. And what did he see when he got into Athens? The whole city was given to idolatry. Nueva York. I'm on a Spanish kick tonight. New York City, or wherever you're from. And it doesn't have to be the big city. You can find that same junk up here. It's not that they don't like what I'm saying. They're going to go start your fire. So we'll be there in a little bit. Wherever we live, wherever you go, it's the same thing all around. But Joshua and Caleb said, no, we can get into this place. I can, Paul said, do all things through Christ. Why? Because he strengthens me. And I go from, back to Psalm 84, from strength to strength. And Psalm 84 says, and they go through the valley of Baca. What's the valley of Baca? The valley of tears. He can't help it. The valley of crying. It's okay, Brother Frank. They go through the valley of crying. Sometimes we go through the valley. But there the psalmist says, but they may make it a pool, a well. Oh, he transforms the beauty to ashes. He gives joy for the spirit of heaviness. That's what he wants to bring you into. No. Just can't. Not me. No. But I'm his child, and it's good. He gives me a piece of bread. Thank you, Lord. You've met all my needs here in this wilderness that I'm roaming around. But I'm getting nowhere, but I'm going around in a circle. I feel like I'm on a carousel. Like when you run on a treadmill. How far do you get? No place. You run like a rat or a gerbil in a wheel. And I go nowhere. Spin wheels, go no place. Well, we don't want to do that. I hope you don't want to do that. But in order not to do that and go around and around and around and around, what you got to do is get rid of the loser mentality. Renewing of your mind. And a lot of things need to be renewed in our mind. It's just, let's get rid of all the wicked thoughts and get some good ones in there. We've got to get a renewed mind, a mind that says, I can. I stopped saying I can't when I found out that he could. And he's able. And he's able to carry me through. And there might be giants in the land, but he's able to subdue all things unto himself. He's able to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. He is able. And because he's able, I'm able. Oh, in me, in my strength? No. But in the grace that he provides out of his fullness for me, day after day after day. And sometimes you go through the valley of Baca. And sometimes in the promised land, you see a giant. Oh, the children of Israel didn't have much problem with Jericho. They didn't have much problem with this or that or the other place once they got in when Joshua led them in. Why didn't they have much? Because they just kept listening to the word of God. And when they got sin in the camp and sin came back into their lives, they didn't do very well. At AI. It doesn't matter how many people or how big they are, or how small they are, how fortified they are. Jericho is a well-fortified city. And God said, let's walk around. So they walked around. And God said, let's shout. So they shouted. And down came those walls. Our God is able. But you got to get rid of the, I can't. To with the apostle, I can. Now, we need to be careful that we don't take to ourselves some things that we shouldn't. Like, I can do everything through Christ, so I'm going to go walk on the lake tonight. I'm claiming it. Okay, I hope you know how to swim. You can claim, well, that's a lack of faith. See, the reason why, I mean, all kinds of stuff. If you really believed, well, I can do all things that he wants me to do. I can do all things that he tells me in his word. I can do all things, and it starts with, I can live a holy life. I can live a holy life. I can be an overcomer. I'm more interested in that than a lot of other things. I'm more interested in living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please him in all that I do. Right, young staff that sang? That's what we're interested in. And Jesus Christ is able. And it was because, we read it three times in the Old Testament, Caleb and Joshua had a different spirit. It says two things about them. They wholly followed the Lord. And what else? The Spirit of God was with them. The Spirit of God was with them, and they wholly followed the Lord. I've asked this question almost every time I've probably said these things from this chapter, but what comes first? Is it the Spirit of God that enables you to wholly follow the Lord, or is it that wholehearted following the Lord that opens up your soul for the Spirit of God to come to you? Do it any way you want to. But put the two of them together. Do it any way you want to, but wholly, it's your reasonable service, Romans 12 says. Wholly follow the Lord. That's your reasonable service. And if you find yourself wholly following the Lord, maybe it's because he's filled you with his Spirit to give you the enablement to wholly follow the Lord. Or maybe because you're wholly following the Lord, he'll open up the windows of heaven upon you and fill you with his Spirit because he sees you wholly following the Lord. But whatever comes first, the chicken or the egg, put them both together and be a Joshua and be a Caleb in this present age in which we live. And get the mentality out of you that says, I'm a loser and I can't, to a mentality that says, I can do all things through Christ. I can never get the victory over my temper. I can never get the victory over that addiction. I can never get the victory. Yes, you can. No, not you. You're not strong enough. Wash your mouth out with as much soap as you want. Take as many cold showers as you can get. That's not going to change your heart. That's not going to change the inside. But get filled with the Holy Ghost and open your soul to the King of Glory and get some blood applied to your heart. And you'll find that you get out of Egypt just simply by applying the blood. That's all they did. No more, no less. No other tricks. The blood of Jesus Christ is power, wonder-working power in that blood. And so tonight, Jesus Christ can set you free. Jesus Christ can change your mind. And I pray that he'll do that for me, because I wind up with the 10 spy complex every now and again. How could I do this? I can't do this. You know, I often would say that. I still do. I'm faced with the week of camp. I can't do this. I go to SVCA, and what am I going to tell those people? Pastor Yu's a godly man, a fine man, and they've got these speakers that come from big shot places all over. They got accolades, and they all are selling their books in the hallway. I got no book. I got no nothing. I'm Ernie. And here you find yourself there. What am I going to do there? And then I have to remember, I can do all things through Christ. He wants me to do this. I don't want to do this, but he wants me to do this. And so, Lord, I can, because you have to enable me, and you will. And whatever he wants from your life, wherever he wants you to do it, you can through Christ, who will strengthen you. I take the life of victory. Not I, but Christ himself in me. And he conquers now, and he sets me free. We're going to sing. It's in the white book in our camp book, number nine. Let's sing it together. And if you find the L on your head in any of these expressions, like fear and doubting and pride control my life, get rid of the L. I can have the victory, Jesus in me. Let's stand as we sing number nine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, we thank you, Lord. No more need fear and no more need doubting. No more need pride control in my life. I may be free from all condemnation. redemption. I can have victory now in the strife. I take the life of victory, not I, but Christ himself in me. He conquers now, he sets me free. I take, he gives the victory. There is a place, praise God, I have found it. There is a place where we may be free, free from defeat, its power surrounded. Yes, there is victory, Jesus in thee. I take the life.
God, we thank you, Lord God, that we have no need at all to doubt or to fear, oh God. Lord God, we thank you that the same God, oh God, who led the Israelites out of the wilderness, Lord God, you're the same God today, oh God, who leads us in every circumstance we face, Lord, as we go home. We thank you, Lord God, for the victory that you've purchased for us on the cross, and that's not just some momentary victory, oh God. It's a victory moment by moment, day by day, oh God. Lord God, I lift up our young people as they go home, Lord God, in this coming school year, Lord. God, you're able, oh God. You're able. As we heard, Lord, you're able. You are able, oh God, in every school, in every circumstance, in every social encounter, Lord God. You're able to give our young people courage to be the Daniels that you've called them to be, Lord God, the young men and women that have no need to fear or to doubt, oh God. And Lord God, we lift up the parents here, Lord God, the young professionals here, Lord God, as we go back to work, Lord God, as we go back to leading our families, Lord. We thank you again. We have no need to fear, no need to doubt, Lord God, if you are before us, oh God. So, Lord, even as we leave this meeting, O God, we walk in the victory that you've already purchased for us, O Lord. Lord God, I pray, O God, that you would give us obedience to trust you and to follow you, O God. Whether we feel like it or not, O God, we pray that your Holy Spirit would go before us, Lord. Bless us tonight as we go. We thank you, Lord God, for all of the words that we've heard, Lord God, this whole week, Lord. We pray that your Spirit, Lord God, would water those words, that they would take root in our hearts, O God. Not just in momentary feelings, but in practical actions, O God. Amen. We thank you again for the victory that you've purchased for us, O Lord. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. 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 God bless you.